Well, Merry Christmas Eve. Okay, well, we'll try again later, maybe. Goodness. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we're in the midst of a noisy world. We come tonight longing for holy hush of your presence. Thank you, Lord, on that silent night, your kindness and love appeared in Jesus. Not by our works, not by mercy, but by your mercy. Lord, as we open up your word today, quiet our hearts and sharpen our hearing. Holy Spirit, just prepare us for what you've prepared for us today. Whatever words you have for me to speak, Lord, just let them be yours and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, Merry Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas.
That's better. Better, better, better. All right, well, this is it. This is the final week of this series, week number 5. And it is, of course, Silent Night. And that is, of course, Jesus, right? Jesus and born on this silent night. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to go over three different kind of movements, if you will, of this entire day. It's going to be come and see, grace has appeared, and the final word has a face. We'll be looking at three different passages and kind of breaking those down this afternoon. So we're just going to dig right into it. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2. And it says this, and starting in verse 15, when the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So the angels gave an announcement, and then the shepherds still had to walk, right? So faith takes the next step. They didn't create the news, they responded in it. They responded in the news, right? And then moving on to verse 16, this is how they responded. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So the sign was simple, right? It was a baby wrapped up, lying there where animals eat, right? God doesn't give us grace through any type of riddles or anything like that. No, his grace just shows up wherever we're at. And then look at verse 17. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. So the very first evangelists on Christmas, you know, still smelt like sheep, right? They stunk. But God still used them to deliver the message, and just like God can use us to deliver his perfect message. Now, Mary had a different response in verse 19. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. So she was treasuring them, right? She was really just trying to soak it all in and just to really just meditate on what was going on. She had everything going on in her mind and just truly just contemplating everything that was happened. And there's a time in our life for, you know, hurried obedience, and there's also a time to just sit still and just meditate on what God is trying to give to us or show us. And then verse 20 explains this. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. So they went back to the fields, but not as the same men. Their circumstances hadn't changed, but something certainly did. Something definitely changed. Their posture changed, right? Their posture. Now, I want to show you something. Better get this away from my beard oil. That'd be awkward. we look at this flame, I mean, what do you see? All of our eyes are drawn to this, right? We're not drawn to the lights or the screens. We're drawn to this. That is Christmas. That flame is Christmas. You know, in a world that's very rarely, if ever, perfectly quiet. Certainly not during this time of year, right? It's a lot of chaos and a lot of, you know, trying to, you know, maybe put toys together that have, you know, 57 different size screws and instructions that you don't understand. You know, there's just chaos. But when we stop like Mary and just meditate and just think and recognize what happened, that is Christmas. In John 1:5, it's not on the screen. It says this, the word is not yet perfectly quiet, but stronger quiet has entered. And it says this, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So just sit there for a second while I go turn on the lights and just look at the flame and recognize what that flame represents, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's huge. This text, and we just read this text in Luke chapter 2, what does it teach us? The gospel calls us to move, to see, to tell, to worship, sometimes to just sit still. So come and see the child. Go and tell the good news. And that's what we've been called to do as followers of Jesus. Treasure and praise. Treasure everything that he has given us. And this really is a good prayer that we could use every day. It's not just a Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or Christmas season prayer. This is a prayer that we could really did, not could, we should do every day. We should ask God for all of these things. Just help me come and see. Help me go tell and give me the words to speak. And then let me just sit still and recognize the magnitude of not only your birth, but of your death and what you have done for me. And the second thing is grace appeared. We're going to look at Titus chapter 3. So Luke tells us what happened. Titus tells us why it happened in Titus 3, starting in verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared. I know that's a weird place to stop. Bless you. But it's important that we recognize this little verse here. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared. When it appeared. It's not that we did anything or we could have done anything for this love, this grace, all of these things, this peace that we feel. It's nothing that we could have done. It appeared. It is his gift. The kindness and love of God didn't send a memo. They just appeared in the flesh for you and for me. Verse 5, he saved us. Not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So salvation isn't a reward for good behavior. I will speak for myself and say that I would never get that reward, right? Because I'm a terrible, no good sinner. Regeneration means new birth. Renewal means new power. And the Holy Spirit doesn't polish up the old self, right? He just doesn't, you know, spit shine my noggin and say you're good to go now. No, we are made new when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. He makes us new. Verse 6, he poured out his Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we may become heirs to the hope of eternal life. So justified means declared right with God on the basis of his finished work, Jesus' finished work. And heirs means what? You're part of the family, right? So we are all heirs. Those who have accepted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, we're heirs to him. We're part of his family. And hope means that our future is secured by someone a whole lot stronger than me and a whole lot stronger than you. And that is good news. And these verses say the same thing in a different passage. 2 Corinthians 8 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." And again in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So like we talked about on Sunday, the manger is the arrival, right? And the cross is the accomplishing, right? For you and for me, for all of us, this is what happened. You know, we all have been given a gift. We have this gift available to us, right? It's to you from God. Every single one of us have this available to us. Now, how do you receive a gift? Right? When somebody hands you a gift, what do? Yeah, you're right. You have open hands, right? You accept this gift, right? You don't Heisman it, right? You accept it. You take this gift. So what's in this gift? It says, "He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit." Says Titus 3:5. Why does it say Titus 3:5? Because there's nothing any of us can do. It is this free gift that we always talk about. And some of us feel like we might be too stained to receive that gift. Even if you've accepted Jesus, you might feel like, you know what, I've accepted it, I got it, and maybe there's just something going on in my life. And I'm just really struggling that he truly loves me as much as his word says, or that, you know, whatever. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 1. It says, "Come, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are crimson red, they will be like wool." Now, I love how he starts this off, right? "Come, let's settle this." Basically, it's like, you know, taking you by the ear and be like, "All right, sit down and let's settle this right now, you big goof. This is what's going on. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are crimson red, they will be like wool." There it is. That was what he did here because he was born here. Some of us are tired of trying to hold it all together. I don't know about you, but it has been a challenging year. Matthew 11:28, it's not on the screen. It says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest." Boy, grab a hold of that one. Grab a hold of that. Some of us might fear we'll never be good enough. We hear the gospel answer. "He made the one who did not know sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." 2 Corinthians 5:21. Grace appeared in his name. Is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And the final word has a face, and Hebrews chapter 1 begins like this. "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him." God speaks. He always has. He always has. He spoke in visions and dreams through kings and farmers, through poetry and through law. He spoke through all of these different things. And he has spoken so clear with the birth of Jesus Christ. He is the message. He's the message in living form. Jesus is the message. And they continue in verse 2. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. So the baby in the manger is the maker of the stars. Just think about that. Baby in the manger is the maker of the stars. The heir of all things is swaddled in cloth in a manger where animals eat. That's pretty cool. At least I think it's pretty cool. Verse 3, Hebrews chapter 1. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So radiance means glory. Glory of God is shining out in a way that we can see. And this exact expression that they're talking about in that verse, God's glory is the exact expression. That means there's no distortion. That means it is crystal clear. That means 20/20 vision, whatever. It is absolutely without error. It is crystal clear. And he sustains all these things by his word. In Hebrews 1, this passage in Hebrews 1:3 is the line that turns the holy night into our new day. Right? The holy night into our new day. You know, when we read through the word and, you know, we look at all the different things, there's a lot of God speaking and using a lot of commas, right? When we talk about the shepherds or prophets or whatever, he's all, you know, comma this, comma that, this, that, and the other thing. But what is this? Don't say dot. This is a period. This is a period. Okay, what does this mean? The period is Jesus. There's no comma. There's nothing that needs to come after that because Jesus is the answer to everything. He is the period. He is the end of the sentence. Jesus is the one. And long ago God spoke, this is again Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read it one more time. Long ago God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So the point is, this isn't theatrics, right? This is clarity. This is clarity. Jesus is God's final word. He's the period. I mean, you can even put an exclamation point if you want, but it's the end of the sentence. Jesus is the one. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11 says this, "For this reason God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father." So the one who lay in Mary's arms now sits right hand of God the Father. And it will be acknowledged by every tongue. The final word has a face, right? That face is Jesus. The face is Jesus. So what does silent night mean to us? The night is holy because Christ has come. So how do we live in light of his coming? Practice holy hush. Holy hush. In other words, just be quiet. Shut your mouth, you know, and just focus on God. Focus on the flame. Focus on Jesus. I know that's a whole lot easier said than done. Right? It's hard for me. it's hard for you. I understand that. But we have to just stop and pause and focus on Jesus. Absolutely critical. Receive before you achieve. Right? This is how we receive, right? We don't need to do things to receive this free gift. That's not how it works. It's a free gift for a reason. It is free. There's nothing that we need to do. There's things that we often try to do to maybe make up for something, but that's not how it works. Titus 3 says, not by works, but by mercy. So receive his love, receive his grace, receive his mercy, receive all of the things that he's trying to give to you. And we've talked about it 1,000 times before. He's not going to just tackle you and be like, I'm Jesus, you will accept me. No, we need to accept him. You need to have your arms and hands and your whole mind and spirit and everything open to receive this gift. And go back to your fields with the new song. The shepherds return glorifying. All the things that just happened. Like, that is awesome. You know, I'm going to tell a story. You know Aaron, he's a relatively new fella coming to the church. We stopped in on his way to his grandma's house, and that guy's just so on fire for Jesus. It is unreal. It's so awesome to watch. You know, I was on the phone with him on Monday for like 45 minutes because he got the revelation and he was like, this is weird. So we kind of talked through it. But it was so fun just watching him really kind of do all of these things. Like, oh my goodness, holy hush. So he's being quiet. He's kind of meditating on the word, and he's receiving all of these things that God is giving him and just really just having an awesome time trying to figure it all out. And now where he's at is he's going back to his fields. He's going to his workplace. He's just like all of us, right? He's receiving some sort of pushback from some people, right? But he's still showing up, and he's still, you know, telling people about Jesus. And oh man, that's like his life, and that is so awesome to see. And I know that's true for all of you as well, but you know, just seeing, you know, really a young, pretty brand new Christian with that fire, it's like, man, I don't want a fire like that to ever extinguish in my life. I want to always have that same fire just like he does. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it from the heart as something done for the Lord and not for people. So do everything that we do for him, not for us, not for somebody else. Do it for Jesus. Everything that we do, do it for him. And fourth is make room for someone else's night to become holy. The love that came to us moves through us. So how can we share that same love that we received, right? That life-changing, miraculous love, how can we share that with others? Make room for somebody else's night to become holy. So maybe some of us tonight, maybe you have a heavy heart or a heart that doesn't feel very silent. A lot of things going on, a lot of chaos in your life, anxiety, grief, shame, whatever it is. The child who slept in Mary's arms is gentle, and he hears everything that we say. It says this, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those crushed in spirit, Psalm 34:18. So what do we have to do? We have to cast all of our cares on him, give him everything. I love when Joe says you got to let go and let God. You do. Just let go and give it to him. Man, we try to hold on to stuff so much when the reality is we just got to give it to him. Give it to him. So if you belong to Jesus but feel far from any type of silent night, Psalm 51 says this: restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. So ask the Spirit to renew you. Ask Him to renew you. Well, I'll tell you what, that's probably like a once a week prayer for me. You know, life is hard, things are hard, ministry's hard. Renew my spirit. Renew your spirit in me. It's a simple prayer, but it is a powerful prayer. If you're carrying the burden for somebody else, bring their name to the manger. Bring their name to Jesus. We all carry our own burdens, and a lot of us carry burdens for other people. Bring it to Jesus. We'll leave this place and return to our fields. Take the truth with you. A picture of the stable. Joseph's hands were probably shaking. Mary hums a melody to No One Taught Her. The baby breathes slow and steady. The shepherds step outside and look up at a sky that seems different, as if every star is leaning closer. Somewhere in the city, the door slams and dogs bark because life keeps being life. Yet night holds a deeper quiet. And that quiet is Jesus. Jesus is the quiet that I long for. I pray that you long for. He is the quiet that each of us can freely receive, that He has freely given. So let us glorify and praise God for all we have seen and heard, exactly as it has been told to us. That's Luke 2:20. That's my prayer. That is my Christmas prayer for all of us, is to go and share exactly what we have been told to everybody that we meet. That is it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, God, that on that holy night, your kindness and love appeared, not by our works, but by your mercy. Thank you, God, that Jesus is the radiance of your glory and the exact expression of who you are. Father, wash us by your Spirit. Renew our hearts. God, give us the courage to tell others what we have seen and heard. Father, as we sing Silent Night, let the peace of Jesus guard our hearts and our minds. And it is in His name, Jesus' name, that I pray. Amen and amen.